The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Luke, the 13th chapter, the first 9 verses. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from our holy Creator, our holy Redeemer, and our holy Sustainer. Amen. Back when I was in college, some friends and I, we got together and decided to go stand in line at a video game store. This brand new video game was coming out that we were extremely excited about. And we were going to go, we had a whole plan. We were going to go get there a couple hours early, stand in line. The game was going to be released at midnight. And we were all going to buy it and then run back to our houses or our apartments and then jump online with each other and start playing the video game together. And so when we got there, the line had already started, and we knew we were going to be standing there for a couple hours, which was fine. We were there with each other. And while we were there, this very young guy gets up on top of a table right next to the line and whips out this giant sign, which I'm sure you've all seen somewhere in the world before, that said, "Repent or perish." And then he started yelling at everybody about their need. They needed to repent or they were all going to die and burn in hell forever. Now, I've got to give this guy kudos. This was a young guy standing at a video game store with a bunch of young teenagers and college-age students trying to preach some message of God to them. And, man, what he received back from that line of people was terrifying. They were not having any of it. But at one point, this is when I had started going to church again and was really getting back into my faith, I asked this guy, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, I need to save these people from hell. And it was then really that I understood for the first time in my young new faith again that this guy was coming from a place of total fear. This was a young kid who thought that he had just escaped the fires of hell himself. And it was because someone had preached that message to him that he needed to do this or else that he had become a believer in this faith of ours. And he took that message of fear and started spreading it to others. The same message: you all need to do this or else. And that's really what we hear when people bring this message of repentance, isn't it? I don't know about all of you, but I'm guessing that word, repent, is a trigger word. That triggers me every time I hear it. I immediately think I'm going to get a message of fear from whoever is saying it. And whenever I read it, even in the Bible, I think this is somehow going to be a message of fear as well. And it's always the same thing. You better do this or else. And that's just not our faith. That's not really who Jesus is. Jesus didn't come into this world to spread a message of fear, but rather a message of hope. Yet I wonder, when this gospel reading was read aloud today, doesn't it sound like Jesus is saying, do this or else? Doesn't it sound like Jesus is bringing that very same message of fear? believe in God or go to hell? It's really hard to separate that. Actually, Jesus is doing something quite novel today. And I kind of need to break this open a little bit for us. But Jesus is making a commentary on how people believed in suffering in antiquity. And so 2,000 years ago, this was the belief. If you were suffering in any way, you deserved it. If you were suffering in any kind of a way, it's because you had done something wrong to the gods or to God, and you were paying for your sins. So for example, if you were a group of Gentiles and the Roman leader in this region of this time, Pontius Pilate, decided to kill you and spread your blood with the sacred sacrifices of the Jewish people, well, you deserve that. You clearly had done something wrong along the way to upset the gods. Or if you're just walking around minding your own business and suddenly out of nowhere this giant tower falls on top of you, you deserve that. You clearly did something wrong. And yet here we have Jesus saying, no, that's not why these things happen to people. Jesus is making a very, very radical new point. Something that many of us acknowledge, but maybe not fully accept. That is the idea that suffering happens in our world. It just does. It's not because you deserve it. It's not because you have been cursed by God. It's not because you are being punished. Suffering is a part of life. And frankly, a lot of the times why we experience suffering in our lives is because humanity, each and every one of us, has somewhere inside of us this capacity to do harm, this capacity to hurt each other. At its very worst, this capacity to do evil. That exists in each and every one of us, that ability. What Jesus is saying here is that when we act on that instinct in our lives, and sometimes you don't even know it's happening, sometimes somebody has hurt you, and you're just trying to level the playing field. Sometimes you have this deeply embedded anger because of things that have happened to you, and you can only look at the world with angry eyes. What Jesus is saying here is that when we play into those instincts that exist in each and every one of us, he has a name for that. He calls it death. It wasn't that our hearts stop beating, it's that when we act on this part of ourselves, we are dead. We are perishing. Repent or perish. For Jesus, repentance is not about forgiveness. It's not about asking God to forgive you for what you have done. It's not about taking an accounting of all of your sins, all of the things that you have done wrong, and asking for God to amend that in any kind of a way. Rather, repentance is simply turning away from that instinct that exists in all of us to hurt, and instead turning towards that divine instinct that also exists in each and every single one of us to love, to forgive, to show compassion, to enact justice. Jesus has this emphatic message for his people in this time: repent or perish. Turn to this divine instinct that we all have, or live into an experience of pain and death. Perish. Now, as much as I hate that message, repent or perish, as much as I am triggered every time I hear somebody out in a public square or a corner use that phrase, as I look around our world, and what's going on in our world. As I look at these natural disasters that seem to be increasing with vehemence, we've now got flooding in Nebraska and Iowa. We've got tornadoes that are happening in fall instead of spring. When I look at the violence that is happening in our world, this, once again, shooting in New Zealand. And when I look at people who I love, people who I know are decent people, who just simply seem to exist on the opposite end of the political spectrum, go at each other's throats because of the divisiveness in our country, I gotta ask, do you think we need to repent? Does it seem like there is some repentance that needs to happen in our world? Do you think Jesus has this emphatic message for all of us? Repent or perish? As much as I try to stray away from that kind of a phrase, can you think of a more appropriate time that we as a society need to repent? And if that seems too global or too big for you, if that doesn't come and just strike you right here at home, this is a message that starts with each and every one of us. As much as I hate that phrase, folks, each and every single one of you have a choice today. The choice that Jesus emphatically proclaims in our gospel message. Repent or perish. That choice is upon each and every single one of you individually. You have that choice and you have to choose one. Repent or perish. I don't know what's going on in each of your own individual lives, but I know that we all have that capacity to harm and to hurt, to hold grudges, to gossip, to judge. And that same call is there for each of us. Jesus calls each of us to repent, not to ask for forgiveness, not to give an accounting, but simply to turn towards this divine instinct that each of you have. You all have a choice to go out from those doors today and to just simply love, to show compassion, to show forgiveness, to speak out for justice. Each of you has these little subtle moments where you can choose that divine instinct. And it could be as small as simply smiling at a stranger on the street who needs that smile more than you could ever know. As I have been reading about the news of these natural disasters, of this shooting that just happened in New Zealand, I have seen extraordinary, extraordinary examples of repentance. People who are spending 16, 18, 20, 24 hours a day helping those who have been devastated by these floods. I have seen Christians and secular people in New Zealand wearing headscarves in solidarity with their Muslim brothers and sisters who were either killed or injured from this shooting. That Jewish synagogue, Tree of Life, in Pittsburgh, the very next day started a fundraiser to raise money for the victims and family members of those Muslims across the world. Each of those is a story of a person living into that divine instinct that each of us has to just love each other, to care for each other, to stand up when the moment presents itself, and to be God in this world. And none of us in this room are exempt from that choice. Every single one of us will face it today, tomorrow, at some point. That choice to turn towards that divine instinct. And along with these wonderful stories of repentance that I've seen, I've also seen these stories of perishing. I've seen these fringe people look at what happened in New Zealand and say, this is a product of allowing Muslims into our country. I've seen people continue to demonize others simply because they were different from themselves. And it's not that that person is going to get their comeuppance at the end of their life. That's not what Jesus is warning us from. It's that people like that are living in a place of such anger and vitriol and evil. There's no way they could be happy. There's no way they could be able to experience the joys and the beauty and the glory and the grace and the love of God that presents itself each and every day here and now. And Jesus has a name for that. He calls it death. And every time we act on those instincts, whether it's on social media, whether it's with our family members, we are perishing. Folks, repent. Repent or perish. You have the choice. As much as I hate that phrase, boy, do I believe in this. Boy, is this important to me. This might be the most foundational part of what it is to be a Christian. To either live into that divine instinct to love, to forgive, to show compassion, to act for justice. I don't think a Christian is a person who believes that Jesus is God, but I think a Christian is anyone who goes out there and does what Jesus calls us to do, to live into that divine instinct. And I believe in that so, so much. I almost want to grab a sign and go stand on a street corner and tell people to repent or perish. Almost. Amen. Please stand as you are able.